We're going to read the passage that comes next in the order of service, which is from 2 Kings, chapter 5, first 16 verses. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused.
Thanks very much, Tom, for reading the scriptures to us. Good, we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at this reading that Tom's read for us. It's a really important story, this, in the scriptures. It's a wonderful story because it tells us something of God's great care and God's love for nations and for individuals. Now, in this story, in the passage that Tom read, you'll see that we had lots of... If this works. Whoops. Yeah, lots of people in verse 1 of this, and I want to... Well, I've given the first one away, haven't I? I maybe thought the children might be able to help dig out some of the people that we find in this passage. Maybe the adults can help a little bit with that too. So who do we find in these verses? I'll give you a clue. There's verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 and 13 where we find people. Somebody's whispering something to me. Well, we find Naam. Then we find king of Syria. Syrians themselves, the people, the nation. And then we find the mention of this little girl. We'll come and be looking at her. She's very important to this. We've got Naaman's wife. The prophet, whose name is Elisha. If you hear me saying Elisha, I'm speaking about the same man, because we say Elisha in Scotland, okay? So Elisha, Elisha, same guy I'm talking about here. And then we've got the king of Israel, and then Elisha's messenger, and then we've got the servants in it. Now, they all play a role in this important story, but really, this little girl has a very, very important place in this story. Actually, a very amazing place in this story. And we don't even know her name. We don't know her name. Oh, I forgot to mention this. This is the Lord, of course, is the center of this story. And if we come to look here at this little girl, we don't know her name, but we could call her Martha. We could call her Martha for today at least. Yeah? So we could call her Martha for our story. But she plays a very important role in this story. And the first thing I want to look at this morning is the faith of a child. The faith of a child. Now, she's working for Naaman's wife, and she's a servant. And he was, if you notice here, we read about him. He was a very important man, or a great man, the passage tells us. He was the commander of the army of Assyria for the king. He was highly favored and well thought of. He held the top job, and he was the most important man next to the king. He was a man of great courage as well, and he was in many ways a hero to the people. And you can imagine all the boys and girls, particularly the boys, they saw this man, and he was like a hero to them. Now, I remember in the village I grew up, there was a guy, he was kind of like a hero. He was actually a minister's son, but he'd been working away in Argentina and all these places, and he used to come back on these big motorbikes and on these big leather jackets, and we all wanted to be like him. And I remember one night, myself and some friends, we were crossing across to a tidal island. We're going to this island, and the tide was coming in, and he was coming back, and we said, oh, we better run, or we'll have to walk on water. And he said, boys, there was only one man that ever did that, he said to us on the way back. And of course, that one man was Jesus that walked on water. Now, this man here is a great man in this passage, and we read a lot of stuff about him. But he had a problem. Can anybody spot what the problem was that this man has? There was something in his life. Any of the children spot that? Or any of the adults? There's lots of people whispering, yeah. Leprosy, yes. He had leprosy. It's a skin disease. Now, the word leprosy is used for lots of different skin diseases in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there was various kinds of skin diseases that the word is used for. But he had leprosy. And that was the one thing that really sort of overshadowed the rest of his life and the greatness that he had. But you know, this little girl is amazing in this story. Look in verse 3, what she says in verse 3, this little girl. In verse 3, she said to her mistress, that's his wife, would that my Lord were with the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's amazing because if you read in this story, remember, they stole her away from Israel. They took this little child away from her family, from her home, from her friends, from her loved ones. Everything that was precious to her had been taken away, and she was swept off, now working as a servant in this man's house, who was the enemy of Israel. She could have said, well, I hate him. Serves him right. I hope it gets worse for him. She could have said any of these things, but she doesn't. She cares for him, and she shows him kindness, and she shows him love. And she knows that what he needs is God to work in his life. Now, he was a very important man, but he was also a very needy man. A very needy man. And it doesn't matter who we are, or where we grow up, or what role we have in life, what our job is, or whatever we do, we're all needy people. And we need God's help. That's my question. We're needy people, but do we know where we get that help from? Well, this girl knows where the help comes from. She knows that it comes from God. The help comes from God, as she says in verse 3. She knows that the prophet, the strength of God, is at work in his words. And God uses this prophet to speak God's words to people. And she knows that God's power can make a difference in this man's life. He was great, but he was needy. And the thing there is, he was the second greatest man, really, in his country, next to the king. And if the greatest is needy, what does that say about the rest of us? If the greatest of men is in need, what does that say about the rest of us? It's wonderful here, isn't it? This little girl has this conversation with Naaman's wife, and then she has this conversation with him. And then it leads, in verses 4 and 5, if you see, to a conversation with the king. It must have been quite an impact in some ways that he goes and discusses this with the king, his own king. And the king says, sure. Look, he says, I'll write you a letter, he says. So he writes a letter, and that's what we read on it. These words there. When the letter reaches you, this is to the king of Israel, from the king of Syria, I have sent you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy. Now, the letter was really to cut through the red tape. Remember, this is two nations that are at war with each other. They're enemies. They don't like each other. And it's kind of, we might say, it's a diplomatic move. And he sends this letter to cut through the red tape. Isn't it amazing, isn't it? That this little girl's conversation led to a conversation with the king. And then it led to a conversation with two kings in two countries. It involves two kings, two countries, and the very God of heaven himself. When he brings this letter to the king of Israel, the king panics. He's filled with great fear, and great panic seizes him. Why? Why is he filled with his great panic? Anybody see it in there? What does he say? What does the king of Israel say? He says, am I God, isn't it? He says, can I heal? Can I cure? Can I do this? But notice the thing that's the difference between the king and the little girl. The little girl has confidence and faith that God can work through his prophet, while the king has no confidence and he has no faith. He's terrified. He says, look, this is going to lead to war. This man's trying to pick a fight with me. He's trying to start a fight with me. And Elisha hears of this. It's amazing, isn't it, that the girl sends him to the prophet, but he goes to the king first, because he probably felt, well, this prophet's so important, the king will know something about him. But the king doesn't know anything about him, or very little about him, because like many of the kings of Israel, they didn't share the faith and the trust of this little girl. And can you imagine if Naaman had gone back to the house that he had come from, to his family, and he hadn't been cured, what do you think he would have said to that little girl? You sent me all the way there to a country that are our enemies, and I've come back. Were you trying to make a fool out of me? And so on. I've been very angry with that child. But she had total confidence in God and in his word and in his power to do something and to make a difference in that man's life. Do you have confidence in God today? Do we have confidence that God is able to help us, strengthen us, support us in all the challenges, in all the struggles, and in all the battles that we have in life? Because if we don't have any confidence in God, then where do we go to? To whom will you go? The disciples said to Jesus, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And this little girl sent this man to a prophet who had God's word, which was the words of eternal life. Well, that brings us to the second thing I want us to look at this morning. A proud and angry man. It's quite something, isn't it, here, if you imagine that this great procession of people came to the king of Israel from a foreign country, a country that was at war, off and off with Israel. And then they're sent on their way because a message comes from Elisha. Send him to me, he says, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, that's not proud and boastful words from Elisha. But it is because he's God's prophet. And if there is a prophet in Israel, one that speaks words of truth, and there's a great God over Israel. Can you imagine what it must have been like arriving at his door? This big procession, this chariot, the top man from one of the armies that was at war with Israel. Can you imagine what the neighbors must have thought of that? You know, Elisha, you've got visitors, but not just any visitors, but visitors who have been at war with Israel and have done terrible things against Israel. And here he arrives. Now, from Naaman, this was quite something in some ways. He's managed to humble himself a bit. He was a very proud man, having the position that he had in his own country and in the army of his own king. But he's listened to the little girl, then he's come with a letter, and he's discussing his own problems with other people. I've come for this reason. So he's discussing the things in his life that are wrong, and the things in his life that he needs help with, this leprosy that he has. But there are things in his life that are wrong, which he's about to find out. And so he's had to humble himself a little bit, a great deal actually, for a man of his standing and of his position to come to see this prophet. Now, he's an important man, and he knows he's an important man. That comes very clearly out when Elisha says, go and dip in the Jordan seven times, that's the advice he's given. And he's outraged. He says, I thought surely he would have come out and called on the name of his God, stood over me and waved and called on the name of his God. This is where we see the problem is deep in his heart. He needs to be healed from his leprosy, but he needs to be healed from something else that seized and grabbed his heart, and that's his pride that's brought deep down in his heart. I wonder if you ever heard one of these old BBC reels, the old BBC news, when they tell the news. It's just brilliant the way the guys speak. I'm not sure if I can really get it, but it's like, good evening and welcome to the BBC News. Something like this. Scotland have suffered an early exit in the World Cup again. Something like this. Further problems at Wimbledon. British hopes are extinguished in the third round. Something like this. And we get the feeling that Naaman's a bit like this. I'm a very important man, you know. Comes to Elisha's door like this. Yes, he is a very important man in some ways. But what the story is telling us is that he's a very needy man. And that he needs God's help. And he's come for God for help. But he thinks he can write the script. And he thinks, yes, I'm coming for help, but I'm going to write the rules. And God's going to play by my game. That's what he's saying here. But that's not how it works, is it? Elisha says, go and dip in the Jordan seven times, and you will be clean. It's so simple in one sense, isn't it? It's so simple. Just go and dip in the Jordan. And to put it in New Testament terms, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He's a very important man. And that's really what he tells his servants. I'm a very important man, you know. That's what he says. How dare he speak to me like that? I expected more from him. What did he expect? Well, he really expected the prophet to make a fuss of him and say, oh, Naaman, come on. Lovely to see you. What can I do for you? To treat him differently. That's what he wanted. But all he had to do really was to listen and to obey. That's what God says to his own people, Israel, all the way through the Old Testament, to obey. That's what we looked at when we read, teach the instruction and teaching for children, to teach them to listen and to obey. But God has him still in his grip, and God is not going to let him go. Well, we'll come back and look at our next portion in a moment. Well, we come to our last point, really, here today. The faith of Naaman's servants. Now in verse 13, we read, he's gone off, he's very angry, but they turn to him, don't they, and have really wise words to say. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, that's a very intimate and affectious term that they used to him. It is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said, you wash and be clean? Wash and be clean. It's a great word. It's not wonderful how they've been listening and they say, it's a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Now, sometimes when we're proud and take a huff, that's what we would say in Scotland, when you get really angry, you take a huff, you get proud, we need help from other people to help us to see that we're acting foolishly and that we're proud and we need help. And these servants are willing to help him. It's wonderful words. It is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. You can imagine how wise they are when they speak that. Just ourselves, as we need to be wise when we speak to other people about the Lord. And when we're raising our families and our kids, we want to see them that God's word is a great word, that it's a very important word that God has given to us for our families, our homes, our children, and everybody else. And we want to help them see that and to understand that. And the story that we have today is a very important one for all of us. And he says, has he not said, wash and be clean? And they help him to calm down. They help him to understand something of what's said to him by this prophet, Elisha. Why? Because somehow they've seen that it makes sense, and they themselves have believed that this is God's word. They believe, and they're encouraging him. Again, this is very important, because you imagine if Naaman had gone into the water and come out and he wasn't healed of his leprosy. What would he have said to those servants? You made me look like a fool. I've done this, and look at this. So they believe in the power of God's word, and they encourage him to believe in the power of God's word for himself. And he listened, and he did what he was instructed. And he went down into the Jordan. Oh, he didn't want to go into the Jordan. He wanted to go to start with one of the rivers in his own country, better rivers. But he went down, and he realized he's not writing the script. God is writing the script, and he has to listen to that script. And he goes down, and as a result, he's cleansed. He can go back, and his skin is healed. But the important thing here is, it's not just his skin that's healed. It's not just his skin, but his heart is changed. You see, God is working to change our hearts. And God is working in our lives and helping us to see that his word is a great word for each of us. And listen to what he says here in verse 15. Having been healed, he went back. Then he returned to the man of God. So the prophet is now described as the man of God. That is the one who has the words of God and speaks them to help other people. As Mike Moore, if you remember, was helping us a few weeks ago to see that and understand it for those of us that were here for that. So he returns to the man of God and all his company, and he speaks to him, I know that there is no other gods now except for the God of Israel. Wonderful confession here, that he's confessing that God has done something great in his life. Now, he would have to go back home, and he had a lot still to learn, and all of us still have a great deal to learn about God. And no doubt, the little girl was probably able to help him as she shared with him more of the stories about the God of Israel when he would return. But what a testimony. Sometimes we talk about a testimony. A testimony is when we're telling something we've seen or something that's happened or something that's taken place in our lives. And he would go back home and people would have known him to have been the man who had leprosy. And they would have asked him what happened. And he would have said, well, the God of Israel healed me of that leprosy. And when we become Christians, that's what we tell people, that God has cured us and taken away our sin. He's healed us of our sin. Yes, we're still sinners and we still struggle with sin, but we've come to know God as our Lord and our personal Savior. Notice in verse 16, he wants to give Elisha a gift, but Elisha says, no, I won't have it. Why? Because he wants him to know that the gospel, the good news, is free. We don't have to pay anything for the good news. It's free. He says, I won't have it. The gospel is free. Now, He's described in this passage as a great man, or as a very important man. He was a great man. But if we fast forward a few hundred years on, the most important and greatest of all men came into this world. Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son. He became a man, and he too came to the Jordan, and he too was dipped in the Jordan. He was baptized by John the Baptist. But Jesus didn't need to be washed, because Jesus had done nothing wrong. And John the Baptist, when he saw him coming, he was shocked, and he said, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me to be baptized? And Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. It is proper that we do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus began his ministry. He was baptized. And he came into this world to die on the cross to rescue men and women from their sins. And my question to you this morning is, have you been rescued from your sins? Have you been rescued from your sins? Because if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he will give you the strength to cope with all the challenges and with all the difficulties that you will experience and face in life. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. You see, he obeyed his Father. He was never disobedient, and he never complained, and he never said, I'm too good for that. I'm not going to dip myself in the Jordan. He listened to his Father's voice, and he did everything that he was asked to do. And he did it for his Father's glory, and he did it for our good and for our benefit.